You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the podcast special episode.
Hello, and welcome to Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency, the podcast. PUT is a not-for-profit industry watchdog organization dedicated to exposing the truth about the shady, abusive practices of pharmacy benefit managers and how they affect American patients, healthcare providers, and taxpayers. On the PUTcast, we'll talk to pharmacy industry experts, influencers, and patients, always with the goal of bringing the truth, transparency, and solutions to America's prescription drug affordability crisis.
This is the Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency Annual Summit 2021, featuring highlights of the meeting on September 17th and 18th.
Mr. Johnny Meyer from Pharmacana, I'm so glad that you got to be part of the PUTcast. And we're celebrating the 2021 event here in Orlando, Florida, with the annual event with Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
So tell us why you're supporting PUT. Why is Pharmacana here?
So Pharmacana is a CBD line that was actually started in 2016 in our own independent pharmacy. So my wife and I also own independent pharmacies down in South Florida, Wellington to be specifically. And we grew this business out of our store. Now we're in over 4,000 locations across the country. And we do a lot with the subgroup of PUT called SPAR that they were mentioning earlier. So Dawn Butterfield is a huge advocate for our brand. She brought Pharmacana in as soon as we had started the line. She early adopter, advocate for us, and we're a part of SPAR for our pharmacy side of things. So we do a lot of advocacy for independent pharmacies such as us. So it just makes sense for us to be a part of this with Pharmacana. And what I'd like to also do, and I'm going to talk to Dawn a little bit more about this, is have a admin fee for every pharmacy out there that buys Pharmacana CBD for their store, have a portion of those proceeds go back to PUT and SPAR.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to start that as soon as we get back home.
Let me back up to CBD oil for a second.
Sure.
I cringe when I think of CBD oil, especially in the gas station and in some of these, you know, Walmart stores or something. If I see pharmacists backing CBD, it's a sigh of relief. It makes me realize these are the medication experts. These are the people that went to school for breakdown of medications in our body, drug-drug interactions, allergies. What better individual? I can't think of any better individual in our healthcare scope of caring for patients. I'm not talking about the scientist. I'm not talking about the horticulturist or anything like that. Really talking about the administrator and the medication manager with regards to CBD. That's what initially impressed me about Pharmacana. Can you kind of expand upon that whole concept
Absolutely.
Of running this by pharmacists?
100%. So you actually touched on something that's very important and a differentiator for us in our industry. We only sell to pharmacists and physicians.
Okay.
So the whole gas station concept or vape shop, head shop, a lot of our competitors will sell to vape shops, head shops. I've seen it in restaurants and you name it, I've seen it, which we believe that CBD oil is a medication.
Yep.
Can't be labeled as a medication, but we see it as that. So when my wife and I started this company, we wanted to make sure we kept that premium level of benefit for our patients and for the other pharmacies that are selling our product. So we manufacture it the pharmaceutical way, whereas there are some competitors out there that are making this in bathtubs, you know, or in their garage. We do everything with third-party testing 3 times for the plant itself, the raw ingredient, and then the actual finished product. So we have COAs on everything. We always have, even though this wasn't a requirement, we kind of helped write the law for what CBD oils are required to have now. We put QR codes on our products ever since the beginning. So we kind of were the pioneers in this industry. But you know, just like you mentioned, now you see it in all these different places, which we feel adamantly that that's a wrong thing to do, because like you just mentioned with drug interactions, are you going to ask the guy at 7-Eleven, hey, what is this going to do if I'm on warfarin?
Right.
You know, well, it's going to make you bleed out if you take too much of it and cut yourself. But the kid at 7-Eleven is not going to know that. So we feel like part of the appropriate management of any disease state or any drug or any medication, nutraceutical, what have you, requires counseling. CBD is no different.
Absolutely. Well, Johnny, we're excited about you being part of this organization and supporting PUT. I'd like you to come back to the network to really give us a deeper education. There's so many pharmacists out there that would like more education in the realm of CBD and the proper application, the proper administration, the proper timing. And then obviously let's dig down into disease states that this best supports.
Absolutely. I'd love to have my wife actually join that because she's the PharmD with the credentials and she's the brains behind it.
Excellent.
So
thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Thank you, Brady.
Give a shout out and a thank you to American Pharmacies for supporting Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency. We are here with Miguel Rodriguez. He's the general counsel for American Pharmacies. Welcome, Miguel.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
You're very welcome. So, what's the interest in supporting PUT? Why is your organization here?
Well, American Pharmacies, we're a member-owned buying cooperative, so all of our members are independent pharmacy owners from across the country. Our board is made up of independent pharmacy owners, and they really have the business of independent pharmacy at their forefront of their minds. And so they've, part of my role and what they've tasked me with is to make sure that I'm doing what I can do to advocate for independent pharmacy owners wherever we can. And so we've taken a lot of legislative action in Texas, New Mexico, and elsewhere. And we've seen and crossed paths with PUT in many of these places. And they've been a huge supporter of independent pharmacy. They have a very vocal organization. They get the word out, and they have a meaningful organization that helps us do what we do, what we like doing. And so we've actually found ways to partner with them. We were part of a coalition that Monique Whitney built for some legislation in Arizona, and we were supporting them on some of the work they're doing with ALEC on crafting a model bill. And we just have a lot of aligned interests. They're definitely, this event is a fantastic event that they put together, this summit, of bringing leaders in the pharmacy advocacy world from all over the country, sharing ideas, cross-pollinating, and just really having a lot of fun together and thinking of our next plans for the upcoming legislative sessions across the country. So it's a great event.
So this is a tough ball question versus a softball question.
Okay,
so here we go. So buying groups have really been critical in the success of independent pharmacy. I actually ran a small buying group between 2013, 2016, really understood the importance of the collective as well as the support that the groups put together. Pharmacy is in a drastic state of transformation right now. We see the roles of pharmacists changing. They're now doing more consultative services, almost running their businesses like practices instead of just a store. Mm-hmm. What factors and what is the importance of the pharmacy buying group of the future versus the pharmacy buying group of 20 years ago?
Well, I think American Pharmacies is trying to fill that role as something that adapts and changes and pushes things to the next level. As I said before, our organization is focused on the business of independent pharmacy, and so we are very in touch with what our members are doing to continue to push their own businesses to the next level. I like to think of our members as not just small business owners, but entrepreneurs, because they are getting into new product areas. They're finding niche practices to make additional revenue in, and they're really battling every day, not just to defend what they have, but to find new ways to do business and to practice in new areas. Our organization as a buying group tries to support what they do. One of the things we've done, for example, is we've started a health plan for our members. So our pharmacy owner members, they need to offer health insurance to their employees, as a single small business, it's very difficult for them to get the best rates. So we decided, hey, let's figure out a way to start a group health plan. And currently we have 50 independent pharmacy owners from across the country that have joined this health plan. We have over 500 covered lives in the plan. And it's been in operation for 3 years. And that's just one example of us trying to figure out a way to provide support to the business owners of independent pharmacies. So we have a RX Legacy program where we try to match independent pharmacy sellers with independent pharmacy buyers. So when someone's about ready to sell their pharmacy, it will not be sold to a chain, but will be sold to another independent pharmacy owner. So we promote that as well. We're just really trying to continually think of different ways that we as a group and the resources we can bring to bear as a buying cooperative, we can use that broad base of support to think of new avenues to help independent pharmacy owners.
Miguel, I want to thank you for supporting PUT, and thank you for being on the post-conference show, and we hope to see you back in 2022.
I'd love to be here. I can't wait.
Hey, we're here with Carl Schuchler, keynote speaker here at the PUT annual event, Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency, here in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Carl.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, Todd. It's great to be here.
So you are something a little different and unique with this conference because you understand the larger aspect of healthcare benefits more than just the PBM. Can you describe what Mitigate Partners is all about?
Yeah, Mitigate Partners is a consortium of 31 different employee benefit advisory firms across the country, stretching from Maine to Nevada. And everyone is independent. They own their own shop. Some of them are with larger organizations, but we affiliate together so that we can share ideas. We believe 1 + 1 = 20, and we feel that's the best way to go. And by doing that, we also pool together for marketing and just a sharing of a lot of ideas. That's basically it in a nutshell.
So how do you see a group like Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency helping to change the game of benefits in general?
Well, I think it's huge, and I'll say Dawn Butterfield's a good friend of mine, and I've been, on y'all's podcast with Monique and Dawn and Cindy Reed, and I think Nathan at the time, and I probably left somebody off, but I think we shared this in the fall, and it's something Dawn and I have been talking about for a long time, and hopefully it'll come to fruition this time, is we understand how health plans work. The pharmacist generally, they know how they're, for lack of a better term, getting screwed by the PBM. Mm-hmm. We know how to build plans that honor them, that treat them fairly, that allow them to be part of the local care team, the doctor, the pharmacist, the hospital, anyone in that local level taking care of patients with all the counterproductive barriers that block them from doing that. We design plans where we charge the employees less out of pocket, a lower copay by $15 or $20 to go to a community or independent pharmacist. They can still go to all the other cartel pharmacies, and am I allowed to talk like that here?
Yep.
CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, but they're going to pay $15 to $20 for each tier of drug they go. They vote with their wallet. They go to the community pharmacist or the grocery store. We have to have a couple extras in the network for that. And so we build it that way. So that's how we drive the traffic. We can also take care of the community pharmacist by also interacting with them and have them interact with our members on the health plan at that employer. So the problem that I think the pharmacists have is if they go out and they see somebody or they go talk to an employer. I mean, these are usually pretty significant people in their communities, just like some of the physicians. They're respected. Yep. And when I was a kid, we knew the community pharmacists. You know, that world's changed, is obviously, which is why we're here, hopefully, to change it and take it back. Take it back to Marcus Welby MD days, as I say, neighbors taking care of neighbors. But what would happen to them is if they would go out and tell the story to an employer who they knew, somebody in the C-suite, that employer then picks the phone up and calls their broker, insurance broker. Don't call me a broker. I'm an advisor. Don't ever use that because this microphone will end up somewhere you don't want it to. But anyway, they would go out and meet. They call the broker. And the broker says, you don't want to do that because the broker don't want to work. They're generally lazy, and they're generally getting paid pretty well, and they're pretty lazy. And so that employer goes, we appreciate it, Don, but now we're not doing it. And that's it. And they're back to answering 400 emails that happened in between the time Don came and left. That's the problem they have. So what we have tried to teach them, and we've done this with direct primary care doctors, if you've heard of DPC, mm-hmm. we've done the same thing actually two rooms over for the DPC Nuts and Bolts in 2019 in November, teaching the DPC docs how to acquire clients. So part of the talk tomorrow, the second part, I don't know what I'm going to talk about the first part, but the second part before we wrap up is about how they can acquire clients. They need to partner with benefit advisors. We know how to build the plans, but they need to have us with them because we can win together. But if it's back to that employer calling their current broker, deal's done.
Yeah, it's status quo.
And actually, Dave, earlier I met from Illinois Save More, I believe, was Save More is his name of his pharmacies. He said exactly that. That's what he has had happen to him. He's won some. Smaller, 20-person companies, which is great, and they're getting the business, but he's been torpedoed by that broker who he didn't know. And I think if we can go match these pharmacists and try a pilot and match them with these certain Mitigate partners in these different areas, and also the Health Rosetta is a big organization behind us. It's 230 advisors that 70% of us are members of yep. Mitigate. Marry those advisors with a it doesn't have to, I mean, like it to be a PUT member, but with a community pharmacist there and go into community together. Because yep. another thing is, and this is not a knock, most of the pharmacies are not salespeople.
Yep.
They take care of patients, and that's their job. It's like my dad was an OBGYN for 48 years. He wasn't a salesperson. He wasn't going to go out. That wasn't his job. So we can help them do their job and eliminate all the crap they have to deal with, and we have done that. And it's just a social proof. We've done it at several clients.
Carl, we're glad you're here because that is part of the bigger picture, because we can't just focus just on the pharmacy benefit, because we know that our communities and our patients need more. And I'm glad you're part of this. This is very important, so thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. One last comment, and that's kind of my famous words on my tombstone. I was going to say one last thing. It's about, and I can't say it more vividly, and this is something we've been saying, and now I'm seeing people talk about it, is getting the money off Wall Street back to Main Street. It's taking care of these local business owners. You do business at a CVS or a Walgreens, there's no local owner. That's going to New York. I mean, to Wall Street. And that's what we need to do. And the other thing is, these pharmacists can actually take care of people. They can actually give care guidance. And that doesn't exist in that CVS. I went to a CVS. Don't tell anybody. But I haven't shopped in CVS in about 4 years. No, that's not true. 19 I was down here in Orlando, and I had to get some zinc, and I couldn't find a community pharmacy, so I was worried I was going to get caught on camera and they were going to come kill me for, coming in there. But long story short, I think that if we can do this correctly, we can take care of these and we can keep that money local. It'll make all the difference in the world. And when they're allowed to take care of patients, like I was going with that CVS when I went with my daughter there, I started asking questions. I'm a diabetic. Can we get counseling? Can I do any? And I'm not diabetic, but I was asking. Well, they have no HIPAA-compliant area to do that. And a lot of the community yeah. pharmacies can. So when you look at great pharmacists like Hugh Chansey, what he's doing in Valdosta, and with an innovative employer, Langdale Company, if the Langdale employee is a diabetic, if they will come into the community pharmacy once a month for diabetic education, they get their test strips for free, they get the insulin for free, they synchronize their meds, all there in a bag. Now you got a compliant patient who's not going to end up in the ER, who's not going to end up as an inpatient admit. And all along it goes aground. I've always said, are you a Seinfeld fan, Todd?
Yes.
All right. You remember the Do the Opposite episode?
Yes.
Okay. So, George, what I always tell people, what can George Costanza teach us about healthcare? Do the opposite.
That's right.
So, when the broker tells you something, always do the opposite of what they say. But the other thing is, people want to charge them for the diabetic test strips. Well, most Americans don't have $500 in their checking account. They're not going to buy the test strips. Give it to them for free. Make them sit there. And as they'll do that, your plan will save gazillions of dollars, because the diabetics are 10% of every population, if not higher in some. That right there saves you. And now you got a happy employee mm-hmm. who can take care of themselves. So it's those kind of things that need to be done, and that's the kind of things we're doing.
We're looking forward to learning more from you and appreciate your insights, and I'm glad that you're here, Carl.
Yeah, I'm sorry I was so calm. I apologize for that.
That's all right. Hey, we are here with Nathan Gabhart. He's the founder of TrueScripts. He's not new to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. You've been here before, Nathan. We very much appreciated your insights in participating on the podcast and the PBM Reform podcast series. We're here at PUT 2021, the annual summit. Welcome, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So why is TrueScripts, a PBM, supporting Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency?
You know, that was our philosophical mission back when I was a pharmacy owner. We were sick and tired of what the PBMs were doing. And, you know, we started our first PBM back in 2006, and that worked out really well. And I wanted to take it to an even higher level. I felt PBMs that were owned by pharmacies just had an inherent conflict of interest. So I spun off in 2013 and created a PBM-only PBM, and no pharmacy ownerships whatsoever. And again, we're on a philosophical mission. So the reason we're here is that you know, Scott had reached out. He had heard a podcast, and then we did a podcast with him and Monique, and then they were obviously impressed enough to invite us here. And we feel honored, really, to be the only PBM invited to the conference to talk about PBM abuse. So we're very honored to be here.
Well, I think the way that you're doing it is very true-hearted, and that is someone who ran a pharmacy, owned a pharmacy, saw the impact that your community pharmacy had on your community and the people that you really cared about, family, friends, and then in order doing it the right way, you didn't stay owner in the capacity of owner slash now starting a PBM. You separated it. Fiduciary, transparent. It's almost like you could write the book to hand off to Congress or hand off to the Senate and say, here's how PBM should be ran.
Yeah, that's true. We work on a lot of legislation in Indiana, and I'll never forget the last legislative session. It was Senate Bill 241, which was a PBM bill, but it was written awful. It was not going to be a good bill for pharmacies or PBMs, or more importantly, the patient. Mm-hmm. And the Chamber of Commerce was testifying, and their stance was, hey, we are neutral on this bill. However, do whatever TrueScript says. And I was kind of zoning out a little bit, and then when I heard that, the entire room turned to us, and that's when I realized the true impact we were having in the marketplace. And it really just goes back to who we are. You know, I grew up in a very poor family, five kids, single parent, welfare, and I know what it feels like to be broke, literally. And as a pharmacy owner and as a retail pharmacist, we've all seen those patients who can't afford their medications and breaking down in tears. And it's just heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And we decided we were going to do something about it. So we are truly in this for a philosophical mission. All of our contracts with our clients, it's a 60-day out for any reason. They can fire us. Yet after 15 years, we have a 97% client retention rate. We process millions of claims. We return all those mail order claims that we take over for a client are all returned to the retail side now. We have customized networks. So we really want all sides to put all the cards on the table. We keep hearing about pharmacies' acquisition costs and that they need to be paid above acquisition cost. Well, what is that cost? And do pharmacies really want PBMs and employers to know what their net acquisition cost is? Because then we sort of turn into a socialistic entity where we're determining your reimbursement. And do you really want that? Mm-hmm. So let's have a level playing field. Let's break up these monopolies. PBMs should not own pharmacies.
Right.
Period.
Absolutely. So I know how your primary focus is assuring the health of the patient, and that should be every PBM's focus, goodness gracious. And it's not. We know it's not. It's about the profits of these publicly traded organizations that make up, 78% of all the prescriptions are processed through one of those three. And champions like TrueScripts and AppraRx and CapitalRx, you're out there really fighting for this new model. So your primary customer is covering the benefit, covering the life, covering, but your secondary and your tertiary is the pharmacist, the pharmacy owner, and even the community that you're serving. How are you working with community pharmacies?
So we're working with community pharmacies in a number of ways, and you mentioned APRO, probably back in 2010, Ken or Kyle Fields, I forget which one, that one, this the pharmacist, reached out to me when I was president of the Indiana Pharmacists Alliance and said, hey, what are you guys doing and how are you doing and on your PBM side? So we met in Indianapolis. I told him the vendors we use and kind of the template on what we put together. And it's just great to see his organization up and going because we're the market is so large. We're not competitors, mm-hmm. and we want to expose. So as far as community independent pharmacies, basically here's a number of different things that we do. One, obviously, I've owned and operated in pharmacies for a number of years. I've been in pharmacy since 1989, so for two-thirds of my entire life, I've been in pharmacy. So we want fair reimbursements for our employers. We work for our employers and their members. The employers are the ones footing the bill at the end of the day, and they're going broke. If the employers go broke, we are all done.
Yep.
So what we want to do is we want to make sure we have fair reimbursements. In our current marketplace, those 78% of all prescriptions, typically the employer's being billed a higher cost, the pharmacy's being paid a lower cost, and the PBM's keeping the difference. Step number one, we got to eliminate that. So it's really a beautiful process when we can take one of those traditional PBMs, put it into our model. Instead of the employer paying 50 and the pharmacy getting paid 10, now perhaps it's 20 on both sides.
Yep.
So now the employer's paying less, the pharmacy's getting more. And also creating customized networks, especially with our municipalities. I'm a county commissioner, I'm in my seventh year and in Indiana, and basically we're the executive branch at the county level. Well, there's about 3,100 counties in the country and probably about 10,000 municipalities. And then if you look at school systems, there's probably maybe 15,000. Hmm. The point of all that is there's a lot of local entities in every community, your city, your county, and your school system. It's so important for the community pharmacies to know the impact and credibility they have. So when we set up entities like that, one thing we like to do is create a shop local network. And by not owning any pharmacies, we're agnostic. But we know the impact shop local has on local economies, and plus the impact of the quality that independent pharmacies have over chains.
Mm-hmm.
We're just better. And when chain pharmacies come to independence, they practice better in our setting. So creating specialized networks, and I call it CVSing CVS,
mm-hmm.
because back in the days when I was in the pharmacy world, we had a maintenance choice program that was jammed down our throat, which meant our patients could use our pharmacy twice, then they had to go to CVS. Mm-hmm. So we flipped that. Where 90 days may be only through community pharmacies, or they may be lower copays. At the end of the day, we run the analytics, we see what the appetite is to the employer, because the lower the copay, the more the employer pays,
mm-hmm.
okay, because it's fifth grade math. So we want to drive business back to the independent pharmacies, but the independent pharmacies need to realize too that they need to have some competitive skin in the game. I've negotiated pharmacy wholesale contracts for 12 years of my career. And you know, I know about the rebates, the WAC minuses, so invoice costs, acquisition costs, you know, let's be honest with each other here.
Yeah.
And we need to have a fair reimbursement for the value that pharmacies bring. So one, just making it a level playing field. And then I think pharmacies, at the end of the day, if the playing field is level, community pharmacies are going to thrive.
Nathan, I'm excited that you got to be part of this. You've come back to the publication. We do want to have you back again to really dig into some of the pricing strategies that you counsel with pharmacists. As a pharmacy owner, you have insights that some of the other business experts don't. Some of the people that are trying to help, they don't have that depth, because as a pharmacy owner, you really know things from the inside out. And that's part of TruScript's fiber. And I want to give a shout out to Allie too.
Yeah, Allie, she's the best. She's the spark plug that keeps us going. And Dean Murder and Dave Parker, we just have such an amazing team, and we just all want to provide amazing care, and we want to be the best, not the biggest.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're here with Lauren Young, pharmacy owner, here at the Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency event, the annual summit. We're wrapping up, Lauren. What an amazing event. I really got a lot out of this, and I can't wait to take time to kind of break down some of what we've learned and really expand some of the ideas that we've come out with.
We are so excited for everyone that was able to join us either in person or virtually this year. And our sponsors were incredible. They really stepped up. And I think that all of the panels that we had were very informative. And we really wanted to focus this year on taking some of the successes that we've had over the last year and then also focusing on relocalizing healthcare.
The legislators that were here were amazing. The participation and the insights that they brought to the table specific to their states. But what's interesting, Lauren, is we can collect victories in different states and really combine these things and then be able to expand PUTT's not only reach to the pharmacist associations and some of the state associations, but really replicating the victories in Ohio, in Arkansas, in Pennsylvania, in California. So tell us a little bit about your background as a pharmacy owner and what state that you're in right now. Tell us a little bit about what the state's doing as well through PUTT initiatives.
So in Illinois, I live in central Illinois. My family owns three pharmacies right in the very middle of the state. And there is a coalition of PUTT members and pharmacy owners in Illinois that are working together. We had a bill that was proposed in early 2021 that unfortunately didn't get to the end line yet, but we're still working. It is still a bill that we really believe in, and hopefully we're going to be able to get through and get some changes in our Medicaid managed care system in Illinois.
Excellent. Hey, I want to give a shout out to JLG Law Firm, SmartFill, TrueScripts, American Pharmacies, PharmaCana, and the Minnesota Independent Pharmacy Association. You were absolutely wonderful. You helped to actually get this summit off the ground by being sponsors. What other organizations, Lauren, would you like to give a shout out to? And maybe we can even do follow-up shows with them.
I know that Trevor Dare from Granite Peak Consulting was a really great resource for some of our owners to connect with. And mm-hmm. then obviously a lot of the state associations that were here too, with yep. LIPA and the California
CPHA.
Pharmacists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, well, we're going to be working with CPHA in the future. So, I mean, largest pharmacy association in the country, so that's an important one to have.
Absolutely. And Mindy's, which was started by a PUTT board member, Deb Keveney, really started as a way to get a call to action to local owners. And she has over 100 members, and it was started since the last summit in Austin. And so it was a Google group email chain that really has a way of getting pharmacists interested and activated. A lot of them are actually working with the FTC on different claims and getting evidence-based, and with their Department of Commerce in Minnesota. It's a great story.
I like to hear that. And I do want to give a shout out to Monique and to Shannon for an amazing job that they did in putting this conference together. I also want to say something to the PUTT members. If you're listening to this right now, we want you to forward this pre-show to 5 other pharmacy owners who aren't members of PUTT, so that you understand, of pharmacy owners, when you're listening to this, it's the collective that are empowering us to make national changes, and these changes are working. So, I mean, this has been a 10, 11 year coming. PPN is almost as old, a little bit older than what PUTT is, but it's the consistency that makes the changes. It's not the flash in the pan. This is a marathon.
Mm-hmm. And the passion that our members have for PUTT and really getting change into their states is amazing. And we want to work with any type of organization, as we mentioned, the state associations, the national organizations. We just want to make sure our members feel heard and they get the truth out there.
Well, Pharmacy Podcast Network is signing up for our second tour of duty as being your media partner. So we're excited about this, and we can't wait to hear more from you, Lauren, on the PBM Reform podcast series as well as the podcast. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.